At least the sport of boxing tries to make it fair. They divide people into weight classes, so a gigantic heavyweight dude is not just beating down on a scrawny lightweight. But in computer science, when you turn on your electronic, a new user is immediately facing against the most powerful international adversaries that are seemingly unlimited resources, trying to squeeze as much data as they can out of you. Some of it even is illegal by their own standards. But yet, very few people are looking to take the side of the underdog. I'm Shadow Rebel, and in this episode of Simplified Privacy, we're going to break down how and why this VPN works under the hood. You don't need to know this stuff to actually use it. To me, open source doesn't just mean here's the code and goodbye. Instead, I view this as a process of learning and understanding why the engineers made certain decisions, which then gives you the trust in those decisions. So the main mission here is to have these isolated browser fingerprints that there's no way to connect the different profiles, and there's no way for the service itself to know what different profiles you have, basically keeping everything isolated and different as it could possibly be. Now, does every single thing that you're using in life have to be isolated in a separate thing? No, of course not. But you could isolate certain groups of activity, for example, or all your KYC accounts that are in your name, whether they're crypto, banking, whatever, could be in one thing, and then you could have, let's say, anonymous political discussion in another, or maybe a third one. You could have medical research and things that you're doing. This could happen automatically and easily by the end user without having to think about this complex stuff going on under the hood. But again, I want to understand why. So with regular VPNs using something such as WireGuard, it has access to your real underlying network information. So there are these certain network configuration folders, and these have access to your real IP address, your actual network stack. Regular WireGuard only needs the pseudo or powerful root password to connect or disconnect. That's when it's modifying those privileged folders. And so this would be a bad thing to have access to when we want these disposable isolated fingerprints. Now, we could use something such as a SOX 5 proxy. Now, these proxies are disposable in the sense that they don't need these underlying permissions. You could have multiple ones open at once. It barely uses any resources. It's very lightweight. However, the disadvantage is, unlike WireGuard, it doesn't encrypt the traffic, so it's just going over the regular lines, and then the internet service provider could see that. So we want a situation in which we have the encryption of WireGuard, but yet we have the lightweight aspects of a SOX 5 proxy, and that's exactly what WireProxy is. So this is an underlying prerequisite that we're using in a unique way, and what we're doing here is we're having the encryption of WireGuard, but the lightweight of a proxy. Now, this by itself is not the only thing going on in the network stack. We're also isolating the network configuration files to use this in a unique way. So to do isolation, we're using a tool called Bubble Wrap. Now, this is a prerequisite that's in a lot of things. For example, it's being used in Flatpaks for isolation. It's also used by Tor Browser for isolation. Now, we also use this for security, which is how Tor Browser uses it, but Tor only uses it for security. So Tor is using Bubble Wrap to prevent the browser or any of the applications inside of it from seeing outside of the browser. We do this also, but on top of that, we use Bubble Wrap to change the behavior of the underlying application. And specifically in this case, we're talking about isolating network configuration files. Now that we have this isolated configuration environment, it's a similar concept to a smaller second computer. It's not an actual virtual machine, but it's the same concept while keeping it lightweight. Within this isolated environment, the applications perceive this proxy to be running system-wide. Now, specifically, the word for this is a local proxy. But all you really need to know is that the networking is not happening within the browser. It's happening outside the browser. And within the browser, the only thing it knows is it's running this system-wide proxy. Now, I gotta talk to you about these browsers, but my tone is gonna change because of how pissed off I am. I have a huge issue with the way that Linux distributions give you browsers. People think they're so private, it's so amazing that they're on Linux, but yet Ubuntu, Mint, Debian, all these distros, they give you vanilla Firefox that has tons of malware and bullshit. It's got pocket advertising. It's got all this telemetry. It's got Google backdoors in it. The browsers they give you on the basic Linux distributions are bullshit. Now, people always go, oh, well, I'll just get a privacy browser. The problem is, though, some of these e-commerce sites, I'm talking about the eBays, I'm talking about the PayPals, these different things, they may flag transactions because both Mulvad Browser and LibreWolf make your time zone the UK. You're blocking all this stuff, the services perceive this as fraud. So you're standing in a different country other than the UK, and now, boom, you're flagging all this stuff. That's why multiple privacy experts, including Michael Basil, who I even disagree with on other issues, he hates telemetry. Even he says that you should be using vanilla Firefox for a lot of the e-commerce to avoid these types of issues. Now, the problem is you want to get these type of vanilla basic browsers, but yet the Linux distributions are so negligent that they give you the version that requires all this work. The average person's not going to do that. Boom, you're in the system. Or you don't have the technical knowledge to truly remove all this telemetry and bullshit. Now, our system instead acts as a second Linux distribution that allows you to effortlessly, easily download and deploy these browsers that are automatically configured to use the local proxy. Remember, I told you, they can only get the internet if it's using that local proxy. How? We're using what's called enterprise resource policies. Now, this is a fancy word for just rules that the browser has to follow. That's just the technical word for it. Under these rules, it forces the local proxy and it removes all telemetry. That's it. It does not do any kind of fancy stuff within the browser, as all of that is outside of this in the bubble wrapped environment and the configuration files. Then this whole thing is inside of a second graphical display environment that appears to the website to be your real screen dimensions. Unlike a virtual machine, which would slow you down and prevent you from having multiple ones open at once. But with this system, not only do you get the faster performance speed, but on top of that, the website itself can't even tell that you're using a second graphical environment. And to top it all off, we're actually changing the time zone of this graphical environment. So it's not changing the time zone in the browser itself, which is a sloppy, messy way to do it. We're not changing the time zone of your actual underlying computer. That would be annoying, messing with your workflow. Instead, we're doing it in these graphical environments, which is not only secure, not only convenient, but it keeps our code base lean, and you're not even going to notice that it's doing that. But behind the scenes, the websites are seeing that your IP address is matching your time zone. Now let's dig into the tech of this. We're actually using a developer toolkit called Zephyr. We took this and then put that in a second thing called the cage. Now the problem with these other browsers, such as Mulvad, such as Tor, they're bullshitting and lying about what your screen size is. But when you accidentally resize the window, when you accidentally hit maximize, boom, the jig is up. We're ending that with the cage. What the cage does is it completely prevents the window from being resized. That's it, game over. These are my real screen dimensions. Now, we're using rat poison, which is a window manager that's light. We're keeping this light. This system is gonna enable you to have multiple ones open at once with no performance drag. On top of that, we're bumping into the browser itself, the uBlock origin, so you can locally control within each environment what DNS you want hitting the system. Now, there are other competitors out there to us. After we started this project a few months in, I found out about Portmaster with Safing. iVPN recently bought this. I completely disagree with Safing and Portmaster's approach. Their approach is, instead of having this stuff isolated, they force the user to allow their system to run in the most privileged kernel area that requires constant sudo access. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying this is permanent access to the most privileged and secure areas of the kernel just for the sake of doing different IP addresses, just for the sake of blocking certain DNS. You could block DNS on websites in uBlock origin. That keeps it local. That keeps it isolated. On the other hand, their system is having it go all the way to the kernel to do the firewall? Are you kidding me? That you want to have a system where you're blocking stuff at the door, like a nightclub, a bouncer. You're blocking it at the door. You don't have ID, you're acting like an asshole. Goodbye. You don't want to have someone come into the nightclub, go up to the manager's office, and have go in the most privileged owner's office of the kernel, and then decide if you're going to bounce them? This is ridiculous. Not only does uBlock Origin do it better, but on top of that, with uBlock Origin, these DNS calls are going to be more accurate, because uBlock Origin is going off of what the website is calling. So the website is calling JavaScript on this third party, and now you know what the name is. As opposed to doing DNS lookups, you got the nerve to tell me, in a world with these malicious advertisers that are constantly putting all these different bullshit domains on the same IP, that you're gonna do a DNS lookup and tell me that I should bounce that off of my kernel? You're nonsense, dude. Get the out of here. I gotta point out that Safing with Portmaster, they're using government money. This is a government funded thing. If you look at their website, they had huge amounts. We're talking about like $500,000 in government EU grants that they got. This is totally ridiculous that the government is funding this thing to evade the government. On top of that, iVPN bought this company out. The whole thing about a VPN is the government's pressuring the VPN company to give up data, and you're relying on that VPN company going, no, I have libertarian principles, I believe in the freedom of these people, and I'm going to resist this to the best of my ability. How can iVPN say that they are standing behind believing in libertarian principles when they're profiting off of this government looting, which is not even a good system? On top of that, they're completely ignoring the browser fingerprint. Let me tell you though what we're doing. All these adversaries, they're lining up to get a piece of you. You got Cloudflare trying to fingerprint you. You got fingerprint.com. You got Google Capture. You got the NSA doing the water lines. You got all these adversaries. You got the Linux kernel that they're fucking negligent, that they're allowing all these different programs to access and see each other. So your radical left Mozilla browser is now seeing your sensitive data in the password manager. But with the system I'm telling you about, everything is isolated. It can't see across. You got these negligent VPN companies. They're all sharing the same servers. They're acting like Mulvad is so great. They're using the exact same commodity servers as everybody else. You got these negligent Linux distributors. They're giving away software packages that got all this malware in them. You're forcing people to learn all this complex stuff. You're forcing people to learn about virtual machines. How many people are gonna do that? How many people are gonna actually sit there and learn about cubes and read the doc, they're not. We're talking about like 1% of people, if even that, are gonna fight this stuff. But when they got you up against the ropes, I do not accept things for the way that they are. This tech stack is lean, and I believe it can win. We're talking about wire proxy with bubble wrap. Within that, you got this fake artificial environment that is completely leaving the browser dumb as it's a local proxy that they think is running system-wide. Then within that, you got a second graphical display environment. Looks like your real screen dimensions. Within that, you got the cage. We're keeping these, forcing the screen dimensions to stay that size. Within that, you have enterprise resource policies that are completely removing everything with a system set up for billing so that it's different identities. And on top of that, everything with telemetry removed. I'm up against the ropes and I'm swinging back. We're pulling a line from my hero, Muhammad Ali. Float like a proxy butterfly, but sting like a virtual machine bee. I'm Shadow Rebel, and this is Simplified Privacy.